From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump has just signed an executive order that ensures that civil rights protections against attacks on the basis of race, color, or national origins applies to Jewish Americans. In an op-ed in the New York Times, the president's son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, explained in clearest terms that the order was signed to make the case that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Specifically, college campuses where Jewish students are not protected from this form of Trump-defined discrimination will forego federal funds. Critics point out that the target is clearly pro-Palestinian organizing on college campuses and the rise of the boycott divestment sanctions movement. My guest is Sophie Hurwitz, a junior at Wellesley College and a student leader with the group Jewish Voice for Peace. Welcome to the program, Sophie.
Thank you for having me.
So Trump has, of course, claimed to be the biggest friend to Jewish Americans and that his party is the most poised to protect the rights of Jewish Americans. What do you make of this executive order that he claims is going to protect you and your, you know, fellow Jewish Americans?
Well, I'd like to start by saying that I do not think that this executive order is going to protect me and my fellow Jewish Americans against anti-Semitism in any way, really. And I do think that anti-Semitism is a real and serious problem in the U.S. I mean, there was an anti-Semitic mass shooting just this week in Jersey City. 5 people died. But I think that what he is targeting here is pro-Palestinian activism. It was never about anti-Semitism, this executive order. It was about silencing Palestinian voices and silencing those who would support them. And I don't think that it was about anti-Semitism at all.
So it's really interesting because there has been a tremendous movement around the country at various levels, not just from conservatives, to try to counter the increasingly popular BDS movement, Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, that is, have essentially tried to, you know, undermine the First Amendment. And do you see this executive order as part of that trend that we're seeing, for example, at the state level, where you have governors signing, you know, bills saying that BDS was not something that that, you know, was essentially effectively anti-Semitism as well? Is this part of that same trend?
I absolutely do think it's part of that same trend. A way that this tends to work is that these sorts of statements, these sorts of executive orders, this sort of narrative in general defines Judaism as being equivalent to the State of Israel, which, aside from being in itself arguably kind of an anti-Semitic statement, erases the voices of Jewish people who may not agree with things that the State of Israel is doing. And so I do definitely see this as part of this overall trend of attempts to sort of use Jewish people as a shield for justifying anti-Palestinian acts, and I think a lot of us are standing up to it.
So I want to quote from Jared Kushner's op-ed in the New York Times. He said, anti-Semites have grown increasingly brazen in claiming that attacks on Israel and even on Jewish students who may or may not support Israel are not anti-Semitic. It has become fashionable among Jew haters to characterize any discriminatory behavior, no matter how loathsome, not as criticism of Jews, but of Israel. This is a lie, especially on college campuses where discrimination, harassment, and intimidation of Jewish students has become commonplace and is routinely but wrongly justified. Has it become commonplace?
It has not become commonplace in my experience, nor in the experiences of many of my friends. And where anti-Semitism exists on college campuses, it comes from white nationalists and it comes from the alt-right. You can see that in, there are some instances, not on my campus, but on campuses of my friends, where they've seen things like swastikas drawn on campus buildings, or posters advertising groups like Identity Europa. I think that, at least in my experience, although I do not claim to speak for all Jewish people or all Jewish students, there has never been any anti-Semitism from pro-Palestinian groups on my campus. I mean, honestly, when this executive order came out, the first people I texted, the first people I talked to were this big group chat I have that is almost all Jewish and Palestinian students. And we were talking about this and about how this would affect both of us, because ultimately we tend to stand in solidarity. We tend to be on the same side.
So just to clarify,
so I think Jared Kushner should try and visit our campus sometime.
Right. So Kushner and Trump are claiming that criticism of Israel is effectively the same as widespread discrimination against Jewish students on campuses. You are saying that where there is discrimination against Jewish students, it's coming from white nationalists who are more likely to support Trump than Palestinian rights.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And I think you just summarized it very elegantly, so I don't think I have much to add.
I want to ask you what you think how others might be responding, because there is a spectrum of opinion, of course, across the United States. For example, the Anti-Defamation League, which is an organization that is problematic in its position on the BDS movement, but that has also raised the issue of anti-Jewish discrimination. The CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, wrote an op-ed in NBC News saying that he was quite happy with the executive order. He thought that he considered it a welcome sign. But then he did point out that it's the president's favorite media outlet, Fox News, that's one of the worst offenders when it comes to anti-Semitism and when it comes to spreading anti-Jewish sentiment. And he did bring up the Jersey City killings as well. And I'm wondering whether you think that that's an increasing, you know, how widespread that opinion is, that there are some groups that rightly call Trump out for promoting anti-Semitism, but then also want to embrace this executive order as something that's needed.
I think that is, although it's certainly not an opinion I share, it is something that is a little bit worryingly widespread as of late, especially like if we're talking about Jonathan Greenblatt. When I was growing up, I was really raised to believe that the ADL was here to support, well, all minority groups, but in particular to support Jewish people and to help make sure that we were safe. Like, it's in the name, right? Anti-Defamation League. And now I am not sure that I can continue to believe that, since I do not feel as though they have my best interests at heart.
So the issue of how this particular law or executive order, I should say, is going to be applied also worries a lot of Jewish Americans, with this idea that if Judaism is to be considered some sort of ethnic nationality or ethnic subgroup, and that sort of mentioned, it plays on these truly anti-Semitic tropes of Jews having a dual loyalty of, you know, and of course there are people who have grandparents who were forced to wear a yellow star in Nazi Germany and say that it's a slippery slope between what Trump has signed and that terrible era. What do you think?
I think it's definitely a callback to that era. I know that I was talking to one of my friends who said, wow, I guess we're back in the time when, you know, on my great grandfather's immigration papers, his nationality was written as Hebrew. And I think that it brings up a very real, visceral kind of historic fear for many people in our community. It brings up all this generational trauma. And it's also not even clear what that would what Judaism as a nationality would mean. Like for me, for example, my mom converted to Judaism. So does that mean if Judaism is an ethnic group, like what does it mean for me, right? So I think it's both unclear and profoundly disturbing.
Right. I mean, there is a very wide spectrum of race or racial spectrum when it comes to American Jews. The same could be said for example, Islam. There are Muslims from all over the world and every nationality and ethnicity. And so to turn that from a religious designation into one of ethnicity or a national group definitely muddies the water. Does it also dilute the power of the civil rights protections that are in place?
I am not sure. I'm not a legal scholar, but I could definitely see it going that way, I think.
So the if the real target is anti is if the real target is anti-Zionist organizing, which now Kushner and others have essentially said anti-Zionism is equivalent to anti-Semitism, who do you think will pay the price? Because there are groups like Jewish Voice for Peace of primarily American Jewish college students, like yours, your organization, that are fighting for Palestinian rights. But then there's Palestinian groups as well. There's Students for Justice in Palestine. And how would they treat, for example, you if you were holding a sign about BDS? Would they consider you a Jewish student, discriminating against pro-Israel Jews on your campus? Or would it be the
I
Palestinians
don't
who would be
know.
targeted?
I think that I would be fooling myself if I were to say anything other than the fact that Palestinian organizers and student organizers of color in general are much more likely to be hurt by this executive order. Like, people who hear my name, who look at me, can say that I kind of embody many of the stereotypical notions of what an American Jewish person is. So it's really hard to argue that I'm anti-Semitic, but if I hold a sign and my Palestinian friend holds a sign and that sign says the exact same, my Palestinian friend is just so much more likely to get accused of anti-Semitism, to get harassed, to be put in legitimate danger by people who are going to use anti-Semitism as a justification than I would.
Is this whole issue one that boils down to how the notion of Israel ought to be seen? Because essentially, if you equate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, then you're equating the state of Israel with all Jews.
Yeah. I think that this is a really dangerous executive order because it really plays into the narrative that the state of Israel speaks for all Jews, which is ridiculous. I have never been to Israel. I disagree with so many of their policies. And yet I am suddenly being told that this state all the way across the world speaks for me. I think that criticism of a state's policies is not the same as persecution of a people. I think that when I criticize policies of the United States government, it is not like I'm out to get every US citizen. The same can be said for when I criticize policies of the Israeli government. And I think that this executive order really just makes it so that nobody can criticize anything the Israeli government does, no matter how horrific a given policy might be, without being labeled a bigot, an anti-Semite.
The original person, the person who originally defined what has been considered the working definition of anti-Semitism, a man named Kenneth Stern, who drafted the working definition of anti-Semitism for European data collectors as part of the American Jewish Committee's anti-Semitism expert, wrote an op-ed in The Guardian. He said the working definition of anti-Semitism was never intended to silence speech, but that's what Trump's executive order accomplished this week. And he said it was never intended to be campus hate speech code. Do you think that this is exactly the kind of attack on free speech that Americans need to be really worried about? Because today it could be attacking, critics of Israel. Tomorrow it could be attacking all critics of Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that the limiting of free speech, especially on college campuses, which are supposed to be places where people learn about world issues and learn how to speak on them and find their voices, is really dangerous. I say this both as a student with opinions and as like someone who's worked for my college newspaper. I am very concerned about the limiting of free speech here and in the US at large. Because I think that sort of policy always ends up allowing the people in power to say whatever they want while silencing everyone else.
I'm wondering if you think that this executive order is also a sign that the work that you and others have been doing has actually had an impact, that to see this pushback against the BDS movement is a sign of its success.
Yeah, I think that the idea that this is a signifier of the BDS movement's success and of its impact is a really optimistic way of looking at this, and I certainly hope that that's correct.
And if the Trump administration truly cared about anti-Semitism, what would you suggest they do?
I would suggest that, well, first of all, they stop spouting white nationalist and anti-Semitic rhetoric themselves. They stop doing things like calling the literal neo-Nazis in Charlottesville very fine people. I would suggest that they stop normalizing anti-Semitic rhetoric, period, and focus their energies on that instead of on Palestinian students speaking up for their rights on college campuses, because that's never been what's putting us in danger.
And it's really important, I think, for us to quote Trump, who just days before he signed the executive order, spoke to the Israeli-American Council in Hollywood, Florida. And this is what he said. He said that a lot of you are in the real estate business, because I know you very well. You're brutal killers, not nice people at all. But you have to vote for me. You have no choice. You're going to vote for Pocahontas. I can tell you that. You're not going to vote for the wealth tax. And he went on and on. He said, some of you I don't like at all, actually. And you're going to be my biggest supporters, because you're going to be out of business in about 15 minutes if they get it. So I don't have to spend a lot of time on that. It just was pretty remarkable to hear the President of the United States engage in such speech. I imagine that you were pretty horrified too.
I was absolutely horrified. Like, he's playing into some of the oldest anti-Semitic stereotypes in the book. The idea that Jews only care about money, that we're like conniving and evil. And he's using that to his advantage here, and then turning around the next day and saying that he's a big supporter of the Jewish people. It's completely ridiculous.
So what is the organizing that you and others on your campus, you're at Wellesley College, are going to be doing with this executive order hanging over your head? I'm not sure how much federal funding Wellesley College gets, but is this going to energize you? Do you have plans in place as Jewish Voice for Peace? Does it have a strategy to oppose this executive order?
Well, I know that the day the executive order was announced, there was a Jewish Voice for Peace student organizing call that garnered well over 100 people, so people are clearly energized to fight this. I know that on my campus, though we aren't exactly sure what we're going to do yet, we do know that this isn't about to silence us. And I know that across the country, Jewish students are mobilizing. I'm sure that you're going to see some actions happening in the future.
And the movement for Palestinian rights, as you mentioned, is it quite diverse? I mean, it's not just...
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, this is a movement that has attracted a lot of ethnicities, nationalities, religions.
Yeah. I think that's part of why it's so strong. And I think that's part of why this executive order is seeking to divide us right now. I do think that it's really important to emphasize that I worry that this executive order will hurt Palestinians and hurt people of color in the movement the most, and that it will just sort of be used as a way to attempt to make us weaker.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us, Sophie. Give out a website for Jewish Voice for Peace.
Sure. It's jewishvoiceforpeace.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thank you so much, Sophie, for joining us, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Sophie Hurwitz is a junior at Wellesley College. She's also a student leader with Jewish Voice for Peace. We've been discussing Trump's executive order that he recently signed. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.